That school bell tells us it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to be looking at lesson number 46. And if you will, to get the most out of this, get your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we're going to be concluding this lesson about how this king led his people back to God. That is King Hezekiah. And so while you are turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, I want to tell you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study on Sundays at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. Sunday evening worship is at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study is at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're looking at Sunday school lessons at this school that were written by E. A. Elam back in 1922. In this way, E. A. Elam becomes our teacher. This is one of the preachers of this area that was well respected in his time. Some of your grandparents or great-grandparents may have heard him preach or may have studied these Bible lessons. And the truths that he presented in these lessons are timeless because truth itself is timeless. And we're studying about how Hezekiah led the people of Judah back to God. He also tried to include as many as would follow him, those of the nation of Israel that was to the north, because the nation of northern Israel and the nation of southern Judah were divided between two kings. But Hezekiah led his people back to God by leading them back to the proper worship of God, particularly in the keeping of the Passover. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, beginning verse 6 through 9, we have an exhortation to repentance. Let me read that to you again, and then we'll read Elam's notes on this passage. He sent post, and it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9, "The post went out with letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return the remnant that are escaped of you out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren who trespassed against Jehovah, the God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified for ever, and serve Jehovah your God, for that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, and shall come again into this land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him." Elam said in his notes on page 125 for the Sunday school lesson of May 14, 1922, "The king of Assyria had distressed Judah and had led many into captivity. The post went with the letters, or this sermon, throughout Judah and Israel, exhorting all to repent and return again to God, and not to be stiff-necked, as were their fathers, whose sins had brought them all this distress and humiliation upon them, and with a gracious promise that if they would yield themselves unto God and enter into his sanctuary and serve him truly, He would turn his fierce anger away from them and their brethren, and children should find compassion in their enemies and be rescued from captivity. Now here's the results. These posts, our missionaries, went from city to city, even in the Zebulun, preaching their sermon. Some mocked these messengers and laughed them to scorn, but many of the kingdom of Israel, as well as of Judah, humbled themselves and came. Verses 13, 18, 21, and 25 of 2 Chronicles 30 speak of the multitude that assembled to keep this Passover. Verse 26 says, there was a great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. The remainder of this chapter and of chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles show the good and great work of Hezekiah. After all that was done at Jerusalem, all present made a canvas of both kingdoms and destroyed the altars and images of all idols. And Hezekiah broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it. And he called it Nehushtan, a piece of brass. 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. Hezekiah wrought that which was good and right and faithful before Jehovah his God, and in every work that he began, the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Now here are some profitable lessons that we can learn from this story. Let us learn some profitable lessons from Hezekiah's example. 1. When true and faithful men today preach the New Testament and urge people to worship God as it is written, for he is not worshipped in great numbers in such short, they are mocked and laughed to scorn. They are called by ugly names and considered out of date. Nevertheless, many hear and strive to obey and please God by abiding in the teachings of Christ. Lesson number 2. The temple which Hezekiah repaired and cleansed was a type of the temple or church of God now. Hebrews 8, 1 through 5 and 9, 9. And 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. Number 3. This spiritual temple in many places needs repairing and cleansing of the trash and filth of worldliness and sin. Number 4. Before Hezekiah sent out to ask the northern kingdom to come to Jerusalem to worship God, as it is written, he had the temple cleansed and the priest consecrated so the people could worship God, as it is written, when they did come. All Christians are now priests of God, and before they ask their neighbors to come to worship God as it is written in the New Testament, they must clean up and live right themselves. Number 5. Hezekiah could not fully and wholly do his duty by serving God himself. He must seek the salvation of Israel as well as of Judah. So the church today must send out missionaries and seek the salvation of all. Now that is the conclusion to this lesson. I want to point out a couple of things here myself in regard to this. 1, when Hezekiah tried to lead the people back to God, he did so by leading them back to the worship of God. And number 2, it is emphasized in this that they were to worship as it was written. It was not for them to just come up with their own way of worship. God had already prescribed in the law of Moses how they were to come before him, and in following after that law, they did as it is said. when I was reading in this lesson in our last class about how we are to worship today, as it is written, well, we don't worship the way it is written in the Old Testament. We're not supposed to keep the Passover. That was in that old covenant, and that was for the Jews. But we do have ways to worship. And we see by what God says what we are to do to worship. And among those things we do in our worship is to sing. As I was reading a paragraph from the last lesson, Elam had said this: we should sing together, and what we should sing and the purpose for which we should sing is written. And then he gave three texts. Let me read those three texts to you. One is in Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20. It says, Be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Another passage that was given in regards to our singing in worship is found in the book of Colossians, beginning in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16, reading from the American Standard Version, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto God. And then the next verse, Colossians chapter 3:17, says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We also read other passages about singing, and there's several in the New Testament, but one other that is given in this lesson is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. If you come to any of the assemblies of the churches of Christ, you will find us singing. We will usually sing together as a congregation about three songs before the sermon is preached, and sometimes follow that with three songs after. Sometimes we just gather together, and the main purpose of our gathering together is to sing. And if you're ever invited to one of our singings, I hope you come. I invited someone to a singing once that we had at the old Philadelphia Meeting House, and they wanted to know if there would be a charge and how many groups would be performing. Well, there is no charge to come to our singings, and it is not a performance. We have someone tell you what number to turn in a songbook. We pull our books out, and we all sing together. And we do that because we want to worship God the way it is in the New Testament. One thing that is noted when we gather for singing by those who are religious but aren't used to the churches of Christ, they will find that we do not use instruments in our singing. There's nothing in the New Testament about using mechanical instruments in worship. If you think we ought to use pianos and guitars and drums in our worship to God, I want you to contact me and show me where the Bible says anything like that. You can do that by emailing me at wmhboyd@aol.com. Do it again. I'll give it to you again. wmhboyd@aol.com. I will read what you say over the radio, and I will show you from the scriptures that the only thing we have authority to do when we're gathered for worship, for music, is to sing. And we are adding to what God says our own things when we start bringing in all these instruments and turn our worship to God into a performance for man. Now, that's all we're going to have time for in this class of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Make sure you tune in again, and we'll begin on the next lesson about a great discovery that was found in the temple. But until then, this old schoolmaster says, you may now be dismissed.